Hallelujah. Is that the mention of your name? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you right now, God. We do bless your name, and we do glorify you. And we do lift up the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus that is above all names, God. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak now, God, into the atmosphere. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak peace, God, in the midst of the valley of confusion. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We loosen the power of your healing in the name of Jesus. We bind discord in the name of Jesus. We call the church to come together in the name of Jesus. Though we seem like we're falling apart, God, we know you are bringing us back together, God. You are forming your body, not what we want and what we believe, God, but what you've called us to be as the church. So, Father, in this season, Father, we pray right now, God, for strength. Where everybody is getting weak, God, people are giving up. But, Father, we pray over the people of God right now. We pray, God, that you would strengthen them, God, that you would lift them up, that you would encourage them today, Father. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Father, we take authority right now over this atmosphere. We loosen your Holy Spirit right now, God, to do what you already purposed to do. Father, I decrease because you've already decided, God. You sent your word. You said in your word, God, you sent your word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our destruction. Father, you sent your word and you said that your word would not come back void, but it would do the thing, God, the very thing that you sent it to do. So, Father, we call to order right now everything that's out of order, everything that's discombobulated, everything in confusion. Father, we leave your Holy Spirit in this place. God, we need you. Without you, we are nothing. Without your Holy Spirit, we have no direction. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now for what you've already decided in this place. We give you free reign. Holy Spirit, come now. We need you. Destroy yokes, break chains, open the blind eyes, unblock the deaf ears. God, you said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, right now, the word of God is being preached. So we pray, God, that faith would arise in this place, God, that you would destroy fear, that you would destroy doubt, that you would destroy unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. Faith, come alive in this place. Father, lift us up in this place. God, we need you in this place. So, Father, we surrender to you right now that your will would be done. All things will be done according to your word. Nothing will be done out of order or in discord, because it's in unity, God, comes our power. And we know what's in you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. Wow, I'm here today and I thank God for just being able to stand. But God went a little bit different today, so you're going to have to bear with me. He shook me up today. But I first want to say, people of God, I thank God for all of you who have tuned in today to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether at the Clinton Christian Assembly website or on YouTube. If this is your first time in, I welcome you on behalf of our pastor, Pastor Paul, and First Lady Flo Nicholas. And I'm excited to be standing here before you today. After 12 years of alcoholism and drug addiction, two strokes, Bell's palsy, and a complete hearing loss in my right ear, God has delivered me from them all and set me to stand. And even when I feel like I have done all, God continues to strengthen me to stand. And I thank him. And I continue to stand. And I'm a living testimony of God's healing power and keeping power in Jesus Christ. And because I'm grateful to God, I've given my heart to him. And I've come alive in Jesus Christ. And like the saints of old used to say, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. And if you too have a testimony of Jesus Christ, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here at CCA, we believe that people are important. We're not the only ones who believe people are important. God too believes that we are important. In fact, God loves us so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die for us, die for our sins, that we would have eternal life through him. And not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins, but God raised him up on the third day, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And because God raised him up, he will also raise you up. It doesn't matter what you caught up in today. It doesn't matter how long you've been caught up and how deep you've been caught up. But God will raise you up if you trust him and if you receive him into your heart. You know, I was prepared today for a word. But God changed it. He gave me something different. The first thing he told me to do was to take off my coat. He said, I don't want you to be comfortable. Because for too long, the church has been comfortable. We've been used to doing church as we do it normally. So he's done something different to cause us to have to seek him, to know how he wants us to do it. So I'm going to be starting off in the Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to be starting at verse 1. And it says, my title, before I get ahead of myself, is I Shall Abide. I don't want to miss that, Brother Steve. But in Ezekiel 37, he started out by saying, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out. And God was saying to me that as a church, we've gotten so comfortable that God had to bring us out. It said the hand of the Lord was upon him, that it carried him. That means he wasn't in his control anymore. God said, we've been so used to us doing church as we know how to do it. He's had to allow us to be uncomfortable because we are so uncomfortable. We have to seek his face to find out how he wants to do it. And they say he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And it also says in Ezekiel 3:14. It says, so the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness or in angriness in the heat of the Spirit, but the hand of the Lord was still strong upon me. And I want to look at Acts chapter 9. Actually, 8, and I want to look at verse 39. And it says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now God said to me that, of course, Philip had baptized the eunuch. And when he came up, the eunuch didn't see him anymore. So God has said what he's doing right now, he's changing the church. And when he changed the church, he's changing you and I.
so that when we come into the spirit, the way people used to see us, they're not going to see us or recognize us in that way anymore, because we're not in the way of old. See, when God takes you up, you're no longer in your control, but you're in God's control, so he can lead you where he wants you to go. Just imagine being out there. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. All you know is that God is in control. See, that's when you think you don't know what's going on. And you're right. See, God don't want you to know what's going on, because you will do what you used to do. He's trying to change the old church, and he's recreating his church. God said that he was coming back for a church, and that church would be without spot and without blemish. And the church we have today, God don't even recognize it, because we made the church out of what we want the church to be. They say, let me make it plain, because I want you to know me. I don't want you to see me. I only want you to see the God that is in me. I can't make it personal. God sent his son to save me from being me. So why all the time I want you to get to know me? Let me be clear with you of how I feel. See, God is tired of that church. So he decided that he would scatter the church. And as he scatters us, he's building us up together in unity, so that we would know a church, the church that he wants to see. God is good. And in the midst of the Spirit of the Lord, he set me down in the midst of the valley. See, as a church, we're so used to being in the high place, we forgot what it was like to be in the valley. We sitting high on the hog, we got the big cars, we got houses so big, with gates so large, it's like we're living in an island. Nobody can touch us. We flying in planes by ourselves because we don't want to be with people. And we call ourselves the church. But God said that when we would be in the spirit, we would not be fulfilling the lust of our flesh. All that fancies is nothing but lust of our flesh. The church has gotten too comfortable with just having church as they know it. I come if I want to come. I serve if I want to serve. I give if I want to give. And then if I do give, I want some say-so. I know y'all get quiet right there. As soon as I tithe, I want to be able to do my ministry the way I want to. I'm not surrendering to no pastor. I know God set him over the church, but I gave. We got to get out of that. Submission. Somebody give you $50 a week in your house and they want to tell you what to do. And that's how we doing God. We tired, and then we want to come and tell the church what the pastor should be doing. We know what everybody's supposed to be doing but us. But he set him down in the midst of the valley. He set him down in the midst of confusion. He set the church down in the midst of chaos. But he's called something for you to do. When your light come in, you're supposed to be dispersing darkness. That's why he sent you down in the valley. Because you wasn't doing anything up in the mountain but your high horse, showing everybody how much you know. How much, so much you know more than everybody. We've just been lifting ourselves up, gratifying ourselves, promoting ourselves, smiling ourselves, patting our own self on the back. While the people are dying, their souls are being lost because we have not been being the church. But when he sat down in the midst of the valley, he said it was full of bones. Why in the world would God set him in a valley that was full of bones? You know, bones are dead. These things have no life in them. These were the children, I guess, of Israel that had died. And Ezekiel, now God has them sitting down in the valley looking over all this stuff that's dead, all this confusion, all of this hate, all of this brokenness. all of this fear. And then he said, then he caused me to pass by them all about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. The valley was full of bones. Not life, but bones. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And that's what God is wondering, what's wrong with the church. Why is everything dead, but all we're doing is having a good time? But he's saying, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh God, you know. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Faith comes by hearing. Who's preaching the word of God? We come in the church, and if somebody speaks in tongues, we go home thinking that God moved. We forgot people supposed to get healed, people supposed to be set free, and people supposed to be delivered. We just happy that God spoke. The blind eyes haven't been opened. Deaf ears are still deaf. Nobody should have to lay their hands. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You should be able to hear the word of God to elevate your faith so that you can receive. But we can't hear if we're on our phone, we texting, we talking, we everywhere we're supposed to be except in the presence of God. We don't even know what the presence of God is. When he comes, everything he comes with him. Not just tongues, healing, deliverance, blind people seeing. I came in here with a cane, but I don't think I need it. Hearing. And he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. Hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes we don't know why we haven't gotten what we believe because we haven't heard the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, go to these bones. See, we ain't touching nobody. We are all living on an island. Ain't nobody with nobody. Ain't no relationships. I sit next to you every week. We say hi, meet and greet. I don't know how many kids you got. I don't know where you work. I don't even know what you need so I can pray. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring fresh flesh upon you. See, God is putting a new coat on. They talk about putting off the old man. You aren't just putting off something. God wants to put his spirit on you to cover your skin and to put breath in you so that you should live. Then and then only will we know that I am the Lord. And then it says, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. See, God was saying what was used to be dry bones living dead in the desert began to rattle. There was a shaking. The sleeping giant was coming alive in the rattling, in the shaking. Even though you're asleep, God is rattling you. He's shaking your cage. You got to wake up. And the bones came together. See, God ain't shaking you. See, that's what people think. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You think by you shaking something, you separates it. But by the noise, the sudden rattling and shaking, it said the bones came together. But see, with all of our shaking, all we doing is separating. Nobody know how nobody's doing. Nobody know anything about somebody. But in this shaking and rattling of the Holy Ghost, it said things was coming together. Bone to bone. They're being connected. And they're not just, it said bone to bone. So it's not being disconnected. Every joint that's supposed to supply a need is being built and prepared to supply that need. So you're not even being connected where you want to be connected. You're being connected where you're supposed to be connected. That's a whole different thing. And it said, indeed, as I looked, the sinews in the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered over them. See, love covers a multitude of sin. That's what the Bible say. But see, all we're trying to do is uproot somebody and tell somebody's secret and reveal somebody. But love covers. When was the last time you tried to cover somebody? I know you messed up, but I'm going to cover you. I know you messed up, but I'm going to love you. I know you messed up, but I'm going to keep you. This type of love makes flesh come upon them. And the skin covered them over. But see, still, there was no breath in you. See, even though you're coming together, you still don't have the Holy Spirit. Because you're still doing your own thing. You're coming together, but you're not coming together in order the way God is putting you in order. You still got a little bit of looseness left in you. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain so that they may live. See, sometimes we don't know why God gave us the Holy Ghost. See, wonder we running around so fearful of everything. And we don't even realize that God gave us the Holy Ghost to empower us. And you wonder why you're full of fear. It says in Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So where's our testimony of what God is doing in our life? We so caught up, we're so afraid, we ain't testifying to nobody. Don't nobody know what God has done in your life? Where's your testimony? The pastor's been speaking to us about giving our testimony. We run in here on Wednesday, but you were standing right next to somebody in the store and they needed to hear your testimony. But they didn't hear it because you was waiting to Wednesday. But it say they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And this is the thing that gets me. And they did not love their lives unto the death. That means their life became a sacrifice. So even though they were alive, they weren't a dead sacrifice. They were sacrificing things that they loved or they liked for the sake of the kingdom, so I can live. See, sometimes we got to sacrifice stuff so that we can live. Some of us, like myself, need to sacrifice in how we eat so we can live. We always get comfortable in how we do stuff and forget the sacrifice because we live it. But in the sacrifice, God begins to live through us. In fact, it says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It said holy, and then it just didn't say acceptable. It said acceptable to God. I don't care how they feel. I'm doing me. It said acceptable to God. You ain't even got to worry about somebody else. It said acceptable to God. With your reasonable or your rational service. Then it goes on to say in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. Good, acceptable, and then perfect. And then it goes on to say, will of God. See, a lot of times you good as you want to be, and you acceptable as you can be, and you perfect as you ought to be, but then it goes on to say, in the will of God. We've got to learn to do all of that in the will of God. So it means we can't do it how it pleases us. I don't want you to know my mind. I don't need to be plain with you about me. I don't even want you to see me. I want to be good, acceptable, and perfect in the will of God. And then I want to look at John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Jesus said. And he went on to say, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I gave you my testimony earlier. But see, the enemy's plan was to steal God's dream from my life. And to kill God's vision from my life. And to destroy God's joy in my life. But see, in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, it said, the word of the Lord says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, sometimes we don't have no strength because the Lord is not our joy. And this is the thing that gets me, church. Isaiah 54:17. That's everybody's favorite verse. We all know that verse. But it seems like with what's going on in our life today, nobody seems to remember. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So with all the stuff going on in the world today, it's being formed, but the Bible says it shall not prosper. So why are we so afraid? God's word said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. See, sometimes we need to read the Bible to ourselves so that you can hear, so that God can increase your faith. We sit down so often, I'm guilty of it myself, I read the Bible, and that's how it sounds. It's just that quiet. But faith comes by hearing. If faith comes by hearing, what are we saying? If you're saying the word of God in your own hearing, that'll increase your faith. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You ought to get up in the morning and say that. Not, oh God, man, I need to make sure I have my mask on. COVID-19 is here. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You know they laying off. The devil is a liar. I ain't laid off till they tell me. You got to learn. No tongue should be raised up against. How you going to judge me and tell me they let me go? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. It ain't going to happen until they say it. But until then, I'm going to condemn what you're saying. But then it goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. And this is the thing. The enemy may give you thoughts, but he can't control what you think. In James 4:7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He didn't say, if you resist the devil, he would flee from you. You got to first submit yourself to God. You got to be submitting yourself to prayer. You got to be submitting yourself to reading the word so that God can increase your faith. And that's how he strengthens you to resist the devil. Because you got to resist the devil in faith. Because he's going to tell you to do some stuff you know you shouldn't do. And then you got to say, devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to let him know. But see, also you speaking to yourself. Every time you say it, you're increasing your faith. And you're lifting yourself up. And this is another one. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Meaning these weapons are not of the flesh. You can't do it with your hands. You can't do it with putting your mouth on me. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. See, he's talking about the church. See, God is not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. I don't know why there's so much profanity in the church. I know I wouldn't hear nothing right there. But we got so much mouth and so much lift to put on everybody else. But see, our weapons are not carnal. So they are not of the flesh. But then it goes on to say, but mighty in God. Which means spiritual things like reading the word of God for power. And to increase faith. praying and fasting. Then it goes on to say for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are tools of the enemy that are used to hold you in your mind, your body, or your soul from being at liberty in Christ. And it goes on to say casting down arguments. Those are tales and myths and Bible contrary conversations. Too often as the people of God, we have in conversations that are contrary to the word. Anything that somebody is saying that's contrary to the word, we should not be standing on it. And every high thing, whether physical or mental, that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And that's the truth. And it says bringing every thought captive. That means you don't have to let it control you. To the obedience of Christ. That means submission to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. And if you ain't submitted to Jesus Christ, you ain't going to be submitted to the authority in your life. If the wife ain't submitted to the husband, she's not submitted to the authority of Christ. And if the husband is not submitted to Christ, he's not submitted either. See, a lot of times we out of order. And then we're looking for the power of God in our life. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go. And that when he is old, he will not depart. But see, the problem is the people that have to train the child, they have never been trained. So they doing what they want to do. The husband beating up the wife. Domestic violence in front of the kids. Teaching the sons that they supposed to beat the women. The women cussing out the husband in front of the kids, teaching the kids that they should not be under any type of covering, and she's not under any covering. So how are you going to be under the covering of God, under Christ in the church, if you're not under the covering that he set in your house? I don't know who that's for. But and being ready to punish all disobedience, meaning we got to be willing to stand and to uproot all influences of evil in our life. I didn't say somebody else's life. I say uproot evil in your own life. And then when your obedience is fulfilled, and then it says the lives of others. So often we ain't even got obedience fulfilled in our own life, but we always pointing a finger at somebody else. Look at her, look at him, look at you. When your obedience is fulfilled, I'm trying to move. But in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, even though it would seem as though things are falling apart, for God is just falling us into place. He's using these situations to put us together. Not the place where we want to be, not the place where we expect to be, but God is putting us in the place where he's shifting us to be. And that may be the place that we should have been as the church in the first place. So even though it may appear that God is separating us, he's unifying the church. So the body that God is building may not be the body that you've erected. Amen. But God has been dealing with me to talk about an elephant. And this elephant is in the room, church. This elephant has appeared in every home, it resides in every community, and it's even crept into the church. This is a big elephant, and it's been terrorizing people. It's even begun to move into the hearts of the people of God. Church, let me tell you something. The name of this elephant is fear. But we just said before that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And if you believe that, why are you so afraid? I know it would get quiet. But in Hebrews 12, woman, it says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. See, sometimes we are fearful because we got too much weight on us. We've got too many other things inside of us that keeps our faith from rising. I said it before. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. But lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. See, sometimes it ain't always sin. Sometimes it's just that extra stuff that we do that keep us from moving up in God. It's the extra stuff sometimes that we do that we know we should do, not do. And sometimes it's things that we should do. The Bible says sin is not doing always what you shouldn't do. It's not doing the things that you know to do that are right. It's not the things that you do. It's the things that you don't do that you know are right to do. Come on now. But we got to know, the Bible says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, sometimes you got to realize something that is set before you. And this is the thing right here that, you know, it says after that in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the originator, and the finisher, meaning the perfecter of our faith. See, sometimes we got to realize, God, you are the author and you are the perfecter. Why am I letting people fear me? Why are people telling me this going to happen, that going to happen, and I'm afraid? You are the author and the finisher of my faith. I don't have to be afraid. It's in you. It's not even of me. It's of you. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. But it goes on to say, who was the joy that was set before him? He endured the cross. See, some of us, we talk about we're going to heaven, but we really don't think we're going. Because you don't have that joy set before you to endure anything. That's the reason we can't go through anything, because everything we go through, we think is going to be it. We are not enduring the cross. We aren't despising the shame. You don't have that joy set before you. You don't have an expectation of anything. That's what gives us the wherewithal that we can endure the cross, despise the shame. And it said because he did that, he was able to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. But church, let me tell you something. Fear brings separation. But faith stabilizes us and keeps us grounded in Christ. I got to jump over some of this because I know I've been taking a lot of time, but God is so good. But it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of soundness of mind. And if we believe that, we ought to be quoting that all the time. Because when we get up in the morning and turn on the TV, that's fear. When we go out in the store, everybody got something to put in you to make you fearful. But it said, God have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of soundness of mind. That means you should be at ease with everything that's going on right now. Why? Because God didn't give it to you. See, that's why God told me to take my coat off. Because you got to learn how to put on something. And you got to learn what to take off. You got to learn how to take off fear. But see, God hasn't given it to you, so why you put it on? It's just like a coat. God gave you a coat of power and love and soundness of mind. God has given you peace. So you need to stop putting that coat of fear on. The Bible also says that there is no fear in love, but love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'm going to say that again, saints. But he who fears have not been made perfect in love. I'm not talking about the love of your boo. I'm talking about the love of God. But it says perfect love casts out fear. See, sometimes we don't have enough love to cast anything out. But when you have perfect love, it should cast out all fear. You don't have to say amen. I don't need to hear it. But it's been said that faith is the opposite of fear. But can I say something, church? Really, faith is the weapon of our warfare that is not carnal. And it gives us might through God to pull down strongholds. Should I say that again? Faith is the weapon of our warfare. The Bible says, but we are fighting with weapons that are not carnal. Faith is that weapon. It's not the weapon of our warfare that is carnal, but is mighty in God. to pull down every stronghold. I don't care what your stronghold is. Faith is that weapon. But faith is the realization of a thing that we do not see, but we believe it. And it gives us the confidence to see what we believe come to fruition at an appointed time, though it was not in the first invisible. Let me say that again. So our faith is the realization of a thing that we do not see, but we believe it. And it gives us the confidence to see what we believe come to fruition at an appointed time, though it was not visible. Because we know that what we see was made by what was unseen. So, church, we got to be careful what we're speaking. We know that in Genesis 1:3, that God begins to speak, and what was unseen is now seen, though it was not from the beginning. So we got to be careful, church, in what we're speaking. Because what we're saying sometimes is appearing at a greater depth of a level or a level higher than it normally would appear because of how you say it. You need to be careful. Because faith opens the door to the impossibilities of man, but it opens it to the possibilities of God. Now I want to look at something quickly before we go. And that's in Psalms 91.
Let this thing catch up. I want to look at verse 1 right quick.
And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. See, our problem sometimes, church, is we're not dwelling in the secret place of God. See, it says in Psalms 17, verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me under the shadow of your wings. See, sometimes if you're not in the secret place of God, you're not abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. See, you got to realize that you got to be dwelling in God's secret place. Where's his secret place? If you close enough to God, you know what his secret place is for you. His secret place might not be the same for everybody else. But you need to know where your secret place is with God. It says you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you're under the shadow, that means you're so close enough that they can't see your shadow because you're in his shadow. Everybody getting that? When God moves, we should be close enough that they can't even see us underneath his shadow because we're underneath his wings. And we wonder why we're so fearful because we're not in his shadow and we're not abiding. In verse 2 it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, and my God, in him will I trust. And I like verse 3 because it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare and the fowler, and from perilous pestilence. Can I say something, church? Pestilence, it means, perilous actually just means danger. But when it says pestilence, pestilence is a deadly disease. It's usually a disease that is infectious. Not only is it infectious, it's a fatal disease that is widespread. Think about that now. It said that he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. If he said it, it's just as true today as it was yesterday. That means if God could deliver them then, he could deliver you now from perilous pestilence and disease. Anything that's highly contagious or infectious. Amen, church. But in closing, I want to leave you with these three things. The closer we get to God gives our mind a peace we never imagine. And if you want to read a verse for that, look up Isaiah 26, read verse 3. And I said it in the beginning, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Be reading into your own ears. The closer we get to God, that's number two, gives our bodies strength to handle things we thought that would destroy us. Let me say that again. The closer we get to God gives our bodies strength to handle things we thought would destroy us. And I want you to read Isaiah 40, 31. And the last one, the closer we get to God gives our soul rest from the worries of any of our storms. And read up on Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we do bless you. We do thank you, God, for your word. And it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. So, Father, we pray now that faith has increased by hearing your word. And by hearing your word, people are healed, Father. We pray that people are delivered, God. We pray that people have been set free because their faith came by hearing. Hearing by the word. Father, we pray, God, that you would loosen us, God, from any weight or anything that holds us down, that keeps us fulfilling your purpose. God, we pray that you would open every eye, God, that has not seen. Show us things, God, that we need to see. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to have your will and to keep us in your way, even in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.